Ready when you are, Anne.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. We're going to start our special missionary evening by singing the hymn All Over the World. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share together in this way. We thank you for the technology, and we just pray that everything will work smoothly. And we commit this time to you and pray that you will bless it and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians 1, reading from verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Why, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so deadly a peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us in answer to many prayers. Amen. So, what's the most important part you can play in overseas or world mission? Paul said in our reading, brethren, pray for us. John Wesley said, God does nothing but by prayer and everything in it. And prayer is how God expects us all to be involved in world mission. Prayer is vital in mission, and we can all pray. Many people used to say, "Oh, I can't do anything." I said, "Yes, you can pray." And that's the most important thing. So how can we pray for our missionaries? Well, we can pray for protection. In some countries, the roads are really bad, and there are often substandard vehicles, public vehicles. The driving can be quite crazy. I'm not saying all these things happened to me in the Philippines, but many of them did. And then we should ask protection from bandits and thieves, and also snakes. I can remember once in a hot country, you often have your door open. And I can remember a cobra coming into my house in the Philippines. And I recognized it was a cobra because it had its head up like that. And I said, "Oh, Lord." And it went under the settee, which, you know, had not like the settees you have in this country, sort of tag legs. And so the girl who was with me said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" I said, "I think I'll go and ask the neighbour next door, the old gentleman next door, because he's probably dealt with plenty of snakes in his time." And he came across, and of course it was still under the settee. We managed to get it out, and he did manage to kill that snake. And it was a deadly snake. And I just praise the Lord for his protection for us from that snake. And then there are natural disasters. We have plenty of those in the Philippines. Earthquakes and typhoons, floods, volcanic eruptions. And these can affect our missionaries. They may not all have all those things, but we certainly had all those things in the Philippines, and not all at once, praise the Lord. So if we remember to pray, as you're praying for perhaps a missionary or several missionaries, ask that the Lord would protect them. And then pray for their health, their physical health. If they're living in a tropical country, it does affect your health more than if you're living in a temperate climate. And also their emotional health, because things are very different, and they have to cope with lots of different things that they wouldn't have to cope with in this country. And their missionaries are also usually dealing in a different language, and people can misunderstand and so on. And especially health. I've known a number of missionaries who've had to return to the home country because of bad health. I've known others who've suffered burnout or even breakdown. So we need to pray for the health of our missionaries. Paul speaks of being unbearably crushed and despairing of life itself. And we say, Paul, the great pioneer missionary, he was unbearably crushed. He was despairing of life itself. Yes, he was. Because he was invading the enemy territory. And Satan's territory. He was feeling the backlash of Satan. And Satan loves to throw a spanner in the works by rendering the missionary inactive. I think about Leslie, who doesn't have the best of health. I think we should keep on praying. At the moment, she seems to have pretty good health, but she has had periods when her health has been really bad. And when your health's bad, you can't really do a lot, can you? So let's pray for their health, and let's think of them. Think of Leslie and Philippe, and we think of Gail and Daniel and Liz there in Romania, Gail and Daniel in Spain. Of course, they've recently been helping with the refugees. They've been in Hungary helping with the refugees, but they're back now in Spain. And as well as praying for protection and health, let's pray for them as they adapt to the local culture and speak the language. Well, if their new mission is they have to learn the language, and then as they speak it, you know, it's very easy to give offence by something we might say. We might not even know we've said anything that was offensive, and we may not even realise it. I can remember a dear missionary brother who was a great joker. You know, some people are, aren't they? And you know, that didn't go down well at all in the Philippines, and people took great offence until he stopped telling his jokes. And another thing, that small thing, hands on hips, that was really an offensive thing in the Philippines. And pointing. And even small things like passing money down the jeep, you know, to pay. And then there's non-verbal communication. You have to be very careful what our faces look like to the people who are looking at us. I found that Filipinos are very, very sensitive to all manner of things that we might not have even noticed. But we have to, we're in their country, we have to understand the local people. And we have to understand how the local religion affects the culture, which it does. And most missionaries move around fairly often, not by choice. Usually they're assigned to a different place. And they also go back to their home countries from time to time. And all these changes mean that they have to make adjustments. So let's pray for smooth adjustments for the missionaries and also their children. I received an email just a week or so ago from a young woman in America, and she said she remembered me when she was a child, a missionary child, feeling very out of place. Her parents were just learning the language, and I happened to be near the language, standing outside the language centre, and got talking to her. I think I must have had her around for a meal. It was when I was living in that area and working in that area myself. And she remembered that. I was so moved that she had remembered that. And she's now in her 30s, and yet she remembered that. And we have to remember these missionary children who are feeling kind of lost. They don't really know what's happening to them, even though they've obviously been explained to them. So let's pray for them. And let's pray for good open communications. Think of Leslie and Philippe, Gail and Daniel, and Liz. Let's pray that God would give them wisdom as they relate to other people, say they're on a team, and especially as they relate to people that they're working with, and pray for wisdom as they relate to government officials. You know, those government officials, they hold a lot of power. To work in a foreign country, you need a visa. And it's the country itself that issues that visa. That visa needs to be renewed, and you have to go to the government office, and they can be really quite offhand. And we need to be patient and, well, show Christian love and kindness and so on. But they could easily refuse, you know, go and have your alien certificate of registration. That's what we had to have in the Philippines. We had to have that renewed and had to go to the government office. And they could say, oh, we haven't got time, you know, things like that. What are you supposed to do? So, well, just say, okay, I'll come back tomorrow or whenever. And so wisdom relating to government officials, and especially to the local people. It's just vital to build up relationships, trust to develop, and therefore to lead to an opportunity to share the gospel. Love is the key. And then the message itself, the gospel message. Pray for fluency in the language. You know, people prayed for me. I didn't find it easy to learn Tagalog. And yet, I really praise the Lord that he helped me so much that people said that I had good Tagalog. Now, that wasn't me. That was the Lord. And nothing's impossible, I would say. It's very important how we say things, because we don't want to give offense. And the missionary is sowing the seed, but the seeds need to be watered to grow. And prayer, something we can all do, is the water. So pray that as the missionary talks to people, God will use what they say to speak to the people's hearts. Pray for tracts and gospels and Bible portions and Bible studies given out. And also Bible studies that are held one-on-one or something like that. That all this will bear fruit and bring people to repentance and faith in Christ. And pray for Christian radio and television, because people can just turn on the radio and just get it. And say, oh, that sounds interesting. And then pray for the work, that it may bear fruit. And as you persevere in prayer, pray that the missionaries, the workers, the believers might also persevere despite being under pressure to give up. And pray for breakthrough, and that strong churches might be established as people come into a living relationship with Christ, and pray for a rich harvest. Amen. Let's just pray now for our missionaries. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of being able to partner in your work in different countries. We think of Leslie and Philippe in North Africa, a hard place to be working, but we pray that you will keep them encouraged, keep them well and strong, and give them many opportunities to share about you. Give them openings. Help them as they make friends with people, and just bless them. Lord, we just pray too for Gail and Danielle in Spain. We thank you for all the work that they did in Hungary with the Ukrainian refugees helping there. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them now they're back in Spain, working with the Kamama Church and also with the camps. We pray that many young people will want to go to camp this year. Bless all the camps that are being held. And we do pray for Gail and Danielle as they help at that campsite. And Lord, we pray for Liz there in Romania, working with the local church, and also especially with the young people, especially with the Roma young people. Lord, as she seeks to help them with their reading and things like that, we pray that you will give her just many opportunities to talk about you, especially to these young people. We pray you'll raise up more people who will have a heart to help these Roma young people. And Lord, we just thank you for each one. We pray that you will bless them and encourage them. Lord, we commit our missionaries to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're going to sing our closing hymn, which is "We Have Heard a Joyful Sound."
We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus said.
to pray for Leslie, especially. As far as I know, she's currently in the UK visiting her father, who's been in hospital, and he may have to move to a nursing home. So that's hard for Leslie. So we'll pray for her in particular. Let's just pray about that. Lord, we do thank you for those whom we have sent to or commissioned to serve you overseas. We thank you, Lord, again for Gail and Danielle in Spain and their work at the camp and with young people and the local church in Kamama. And we just want to remember especially Leslie, having had to leave her work of coaching, training workshops, and worried now about her father in hospital. Lord, we just pray that you will give her your peace. Help her day by day to know your strength and have your wisdom. And we just pray for her father, that the best thing will be done for him. Lord, we place him in your hand. We don't know whether he knows you or not. If he doesn't know you, we just pray that, again, you'll give Leslie opportunities to speak to him about opening his heart and life to you. Lord, give her your peace. And we think of Philippe on his own there in North Africa, and obviously being concerned about Leslie. So we pray for him. And Lord, we again remember Gail and Danielle and Liz too in Romania, thanking you so much for their calling. And we pray, Lord, that if there are other people whom you're calling to serve you in other countries, whether they're young or old, we pray that they will say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me, and help us as local churches to be alert and to be ready to help people who might be asking questions. Lord, thank you for those whom we have been able to send and support down the years. And thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to share together this evening. And we pray that you will bless us as we are more involved in the work of overseas missions. And help us, Lord, in our own situations to be able to share you with others, with our relatives, with our neighbours, with our friends. Just give us the right words to say, Lord, we pray. We are your missionaries here, and we pray, Lord, for those whom we have sent to serve you in other lands, that you'll protect them, give them good health, and encourage them. And thank you again for this service that we've been able to have together. Bless us, we pray, in this coming week, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. As a reminder, everyone, our next service is in 2 weeks' time on the 10th of July. And that, if I remember rightly, Dorothy, is an open theme. So you can choose any of your favourite worship songs. I'm not sure how many we've had so far, if any, none at all yet. So if you've not had a chance to send one and you have a favourite or one you just would love to hear at the service in 2 weeks' time, if you'll let Dorothy have that as soon as possible ready for the next service.